Thanks, Veronica. Yeah, this will be in some ways similar to John's talk and as well John Goolsbee's talk. And I'll be talking about local adaptation of insect herbivores and sort of asking the question, can insects be too host specific? And I think we all probably know the answer already. But I'd like to mention my co-authors on here. This is a fairly large project with a lot of collaboration. We've got Jim Kuda, Veronica, and I from University of Florida. Now Rodrigo Diaz will get involved as well. Greg Wheeler from ARS is here. And we're also, all the genetic work I'll be talking about has been done by Dr. Dean Williams at Texas Christian University. Oh, okay, I gotta get used to this. Okay. Sorry. Okay. So what is local adaptation? One definition I pulled out of the literature was patterns and processes observed across local populations, also sometimes called DEEMs, of the same species connected, at least potentially, by dispersal and gene flow. Perhaps a more succinct definition would be spatially divergent selection. And a prerequisite for local adaptation is you have some type of interaction between genotype and the environment. And it's really a fairly common phenomenon. And this paper by Broken and Moper reviewed 13 studies. And this is a bit biased because I think these 13 studies people set out to find evidence of local adaptation. And they found evidence in 7 of the 13 studies. But this second study that I'm citing here about goldenrod by Steierman, they weren't really looking for it. They said, let's take a complex of herbivores feeding on one plant, goldenrod in this case, and see if we can, what's the frequency of evidence of local adaptation. And almost half of the time, with half of the herbivores, they found some evidence. So it's not uncommon. Okay, what factors would influence local adaptation of insect herbivores? Well, certainly, first let's look in general across all organisms, and certainly restricted gene flow is going to have an influence. Some genetic variability has to be there to start with, and then some environmental variability because you have to have this genotype environment interaction. Then from the biocontrol perspective, we're interested in herbivorous insects, so poor dispersal would lead to a restricted gene flow, and that can be related to a short generation time of the herbivore on a long-lived host. So the herbivore really has no, the progeny of one generation have no reason to be moving on a long-lived host. They can just keep reproducing for generations on the same host. Genetically structured host population, and then there's an association with haplodiploidy. And that's thought to be because males which are haploids suffer greater mortality than females on novel hosts. So I like to make things very simple so I can understand them. And if you imagine this is some species of tree growing somewhere in the world in some sort of spatially structured pattern, then with each one being genetically adapted to different environment, then you could have an insect of one species that is also adapted to these different types of the host tree. And there are a lot of examples of local adaptation in the literature. I think the first one, I think it was published in Nature, about this diaspid on ponderosa pines, where they could show that there was adaptation to at the specific tree level. And then there was a thrip, that was 1978, then there was a thrip that was adapted to specific clones of a seaside fleabane. And more recently, there's a cynipid gall wasp that's been shown to be associated with specific live oak trees, Texas live oak trees. And then I mentioned from the biocontrol perspective, John Goolsbee's work with the areophyid mite adapted to specific genotypes of old world climbing fern, which you already heard about this morning. And if you're interested in this, there's a whole book, which I can't say I read the whole thing, but I read quite a bit of it before in preparing this talk about genetic structure and local adaptation in natural insect populations. So the example I'm going to use is something we've been working on for a while on Brazilian pepper. So I'll tell you just a little bit about it, although many people in this audience may know something about it as well. It's Chinus terebinthifolius. It's native to South America, introduced into Florida as an ornamental in the probably the 1890s, and there is historical evidence of two introductions, one into Miami and one into the west coast of Florida. And it invades a variety of habitats in Florida, and it can get really, really bad. This is in the Everglades in an area called Hole in the Donut. But you often see it just growing along the side of the road, and it does get into natural areas. Some early work by a botanist by the name of Barclay, collecting in South America, he described five different, what he called varieties of Brazilian pepper, which are named here. And you can't really see it that well, but they appear somewhat structured with, like, this Polianus only occurs down here. This one occurs pretty much, looks like a coastal species. So suggesting there may be some adaptation to different environments. Before we began this project, really we didn't have any idea what was going on in Florida as far as genetic diversity, but just going out in the field you see all kinds of morphological differences between plants, especially in the shape and number of leaflets. So we began first in Florida collecting Brazilian pepper, and I think we eventually collected from about 600 trees. And looking at chloroplast DNA, found that there were two haplotypes, which we arbitrarily called A and B, with A being predominant on this side of Florida and B being predominant over on the East Coast. And this relates pretty nicely with the historical evidence of an introduction into Miami and then one into the West Coast in a place called Punta Gorda. The problem is, if you look at the nuclear, and John Gaskin mentioned hybridization, these two types have hybridized extensively. You can still trace them through their haplotypes because that's maternally inherited and doesn't change. But if you look at the nuclear DNA microsatellites, most trees are hybrids in Florida, is the bottom line here. And there's really a gradient. We did some interpolation from our genetic data, and you can see there's a gradient with this area is mostly East Coast ancestry, and this area is mostly West Coast, where originally we think it was brought in. But you see pockets like up here where it looks like probably human intervention, because this tree was sold as in nurseries across the state as an ornamental, so it kind of jumped around a bit. Okay, so we talked a little bit about local adaptation, but I think we also need to look at hybridization and how that may affect insect herbivores. And so there's a couple review papers on this, and in total 117 studies have been reviewed. And this is really on specialized insect herbivores more than just generalist insect herbivores. And in 27% of the cases, they showed an increased susceptibility of the hybrid to the herbivore. In 68% of the time, there's some sort of intermediate susceptibility. And in 5% of the time, there was a decrease in susceptibility of the hybrids to the herbivore. So I think the bottom line from this is, it's something that is difficult to predict a priori. Okay, so getting back to Brazilian pepper. In South America, we've done quite a bit of collection now as well, with a lot of help from Greg Wheeler and others. And we've identified 14 different haplotypes in South America. And here's our Florida haplotype A, and it's a coastal species that occurs along about 1,500 kilometers of the coastal area of this part of Brazil. Haplotype B was recently found by Greg near Salvador in a place called Ouro Preto, and it seems to have a very limited distribution. You didn't like how I pronounced it?
No, B was found in Salvador.
Did I say it backwards? I'm sorry. Yeah, B is from up here. I thought I said that. And then A is coastal along here.
B was down in Salvador.
Yeah, that's right. See the arrow? Salvador. Oh, that's the Thrips. I'm sorry. Yes. Salvador. So we're also looking at one natural enemy in particular, and it's a thrips, that's associated with Brazilian pepper, feeds from the growing tips. And this thrips, and these are different haplotypes, mitochondrial, looking at the MTCO1 gene. And this thrips was found in the inland southern area near Curitiba. So we're calling that PI5, and these others have wider distributions. This thrips was originally brought into Florida, collected in Curitiba area, and brought in for host range testing, which was done largely by Dr. Jim Kuda here. And they were collected from haplotype C and D, or this complex of haplotypes. Not sure exactly which one, but haplotype C and D predominantly. These thrips, through Greg's work, were found associated with haplotype A from Ouro Preto. And we thought these were working with the same thing. We're calling these things Pseudophilothrips acini. But then Greg began communicating with Lawrence Mound, sent him some specimens in Australia. And we now believe we're actually looking at two different things. This is the Pseudophilothrips acini from Bahia, Ouro Preto, whereas what we originally had, we're now calling Pseudophilothrips species near acini, and I believe it will eventually be identified. So what we wanted to do is look at how these two different populations of thrips, or two different species, we're not sure exactly yet, how they performed on these different genetic types of Brazilian pepper. And so we've got our two thrips. You can see the larvae do have a coloration difference that's not always this clear. And we did three experiments, looked at survival and development on various different genetic types of Brazilian pepper, and by putting neonates on the plants and then looking at survival and development time. We also looked at adult longevity on different haplotypes of, or different genotypes of Brazilian pepper, and put the adults on growing tips and just looking at survival. And then a third experiment, we looked at feeding preference, I guess with the assumption that there's some sort of chemicals involved in the host attraction to these different haplotypes. My voice is kind of going because I've got a nasty throat thing I woke up with this morning. So we released the thrips in the center of a plastic arena, and then we had leaf cuttings of the different Brazilian genotypes around. And then we'd measure and see where the thrips would go to. So for survival, for the Curitiba thrips, which again is the first one we brought in, you can see these are the Florida types down here. It's kind of hard to read all this, but these are the Florida types. We had very poor survival. And we actually were rearing this on Shinus mullae, which is, I think, this bar. And it seems like Shinus mullae is sort of the lab rat, where both thrips seem to perform well on that one. Look at time of development. And then secondly, the Ouro Preto thrips, the one collected from one of the haplotypes that we do have in Florida, did not perform well on the haplotype from which the Curitiba thrips was collected. So it starts to make sense. Oh, I'm sorry, one more point. And then the developmental time also seems to fit, where the developmental time took longer for this Ouro Preto thrips on Brazilian pepper type D from which it was not collected. Adult longevity seems to fit as well, where the Curitiba thrips did not perform well on the Florida types, and in fact there was no difference between Florida and no food at all, suggesting that the thrips weren't even feeding. The Ouro Preto thrips, again, it seems to make sense where looking at longevity, they performed very poorly on a type of Brazilian pepper that they were not found on, Brazilian pepper type D, and there was no difference between that and a control as well. Feeding preference, This is the Curitiba thrips, and it didn't prefer to feed on our Florida types of Brazilian pepper, so that goes along with the developmental data. The Ouro Preto thrips was attracted most to the Brazilian pepper type from which it was collected, this type, and also to Chinas mollei, the lab rat, I'll call it. So the conclusions from this are that we have two biocontrol agents, or two thrips, that certainly differed in their ability to utilize their host plant. And for the Curitiba thrips, it performed well on the type from which it was collected, Brazilian type D, and Chinas mollei, and then all other than Florida types, the least. And the Ouro Preto thrips performed best on the type from which it was collected, Brazilian A, and then Florida types, and then Brazilian type D from which it was not collected. So to kind of summarize the knowledge on where we're at with this, going back to that illustration we had earlier, here's what we have. In Florida, we've got these two, haplotype A, haplotype B. We've collected thrips from this one in South America, and this is the Curitiba thrips, or also haplotype 5. We've also collected, I think, two specimens of this one, haplotype 4, which is more closely related to 1 and 2, but I won't go into that. From Ouro Preto, we've collected two thrips which are closely related, PI1 and PI2. And all other thrips, we collect 1, 2, and 3. So there seems to be some structuring here where we have different thrips adapted to different Brazilian pepper plants. I'm sorry. Oh, that was an important slide, sorry. And the last thing, we have not collected thrips from haplotype B. This is the other type that we have in Florida, and we think that's important, so we're going to try and do that very soon. So conclusions, there's certainly, we think we have some evidence of local adaptation occurring here. Hybridization confounds the effects of local adaptation, and when you think about it, it really makes it impossible to find a thrips that is locally adapted to the type of Brazilian pepper we have in Florida, simply because that kind of Brazilian pepper doesn't occur in the native range. Now, similar to what John Gaskin was talking about with the Casuarina. However, we have evidence to date which suggests that the thrips adapted to the Brazilian pepper types in Brazil, which are parental to the Florida types, may be the most compatible. The Curitiba thrips should not be released in Florida due to poor adaptation to Florida BP types. And the Ouro Preto thrips may be an effective biocontrol agent against Florida BP. At least it is compatible to some degree. But a thrips collected from haplotype B, which we have not yet done, may perform as well or better, so that's something we hope to do. And finally, an understanding of local adaptation, I think, may be critical to the success or failure, at least of some biocontrol, weed biocontrol programs. From here, we're going to try with Greg, and I think he's already begun this work, to look at the chemistry with the assumption that that's what's driving this whole local adaptation of the thrips to different Brazilian pepper types. Host specificity testing. We've looked at the host specificity of this Ouro Preto thrips to specific genotypes of Brazilian pepper, but we haven't done the wide host range testing yet. That's being done by ARS, by Greg. We plan in our lab to look at the effects of this thrips on the growth and reproduction of Brazilian pepper. And very importantly, Rodrigo actually is going to, about 10 days from now, will be heading to Brazil to try and find a thrips on haplotype B. And if we get a release permit, eventually make some field releases, and there's a long ways to go before we do that. Then monitor, yeah, this is years down the road. So I would like to acknowledge all the people working in my lab and up in Jim Kuda's lab, and our collaborators in Brazil who've been involved in this project for a number of years, and then of course the people that are providing the money, and it's been a whole series of different funding agencies over time. So thanks for your attention, and I'd be happy to try and respond to any questions.
We have 2 minutes.
Yeah, Roy.
Bill, if you've got two perennial plants, each of which in the native range, at least potentially, have two different populations of the same species of thrips that are adapted to each of them, but your native range is, or your introduced range is dominated by a hybrid, why not try collecting the two thrips and hybridize them? See if the hybrid is a good match to the hybrid plant.
That's a good question. First of all, we did think these were the same species. Now we think they're two different species.
But
that's the next step, and that's something that Jim and I have been talking about, and we're actually put it in a grant proposal that we're trying, you know, we will be trying to do that, is hybridize the thrips, first of all, to get an idea of whether they're different species or not, because they're very similar. So something we're planning on doing. Jim?
And just to follow up on that, again, Greg is looking into the really extensive host range, but looking at what we've seen so far is that both the thrips types, they seem to both accept Shinus molly and some of the, even the Florida BP at a lower level and the other one at a higher level. But in terms of the full host range, we don't really know that yet, but we expect, again, based on what we've seen, I think it's probably going to be fairly similar.
Yep.
Greg will give us the final answer on that.
Right. Yeah, Ted.
How damaging are these? Is it worth all this effort?
Well, I said that's something we need to really be looking at. We didn't do that with the first thrips we had in. We really didn't do testing where we looked at the impact of different densities of thrips on plants. We're just going to be starting that work right now, and so I think that's a good question. I think Jim's got field data on that.
We did a field chemical exclusion study in Brazil, and in fact, we basically put natural infestations and a few inundated releases, and you get a clear decline or decrease in the plant height and biomass, about 40% reduction, particularly on the younger plants. And even small plants, they'll kill small plants outright.
Okay, I think I'm being pulled off, so.
Oh, no. Thank you.